And he'll be able to share what's on your heart for us today, Lord. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. So Holy Spirit, anointed one, come. Come, Lord. Come and speak to us, Lord. Open our hearts. I pray that you will, there will be soft, soft soil in our hearts to receive your word today, Lord. Come and speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great. Let's go and do this. Sweet time, eh? Wow. So, good evening and welcome. I know you've been welcomed, but welcome to the Grootbrak plant official launch in the Josh Train in Grootbrak. What a privilege, man, and just so good to have all of you here tonight, and a privilege for me to also minister with you guys tonight, and just having so many of us. This has been a long time coming, no? All right. And but it's a tough crowd, but I know in Mona's heart, this has been a dream for 5 years that God had placed birth in his heart. I'm thinking about, you know, John and Kanya and Paul and Michelle. What did you say? 12 years? 11 years. 11 years ago that they relocated to Grootbrak with a dream that God's going to do something, start a church. And we just celebrated last week that commended the guys that they've died well. The dream is that, and I think, you know, I don't want to rehash the story, but like, it's good for us to hear this, that sometimes God births something, and it's like a Joseph process, yeah. And God said, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars will bow down to you, then you end up in the pit, and like, what happened, Lord, you forgot about that, and if you die with him, you'll live with him. And so we celebrate today your obedience, all of you guys, you know, Mark and Chantal, where you guys serving somewhere. Yeah? The dream. And so it's a joy for us to be with you. And, you know, it's interesting. I had a friend in Melkbos, Ivan. He always used to say this. He said, God takes a long time to act suddenly. Yeah? And so this feels like one of the suddenlies of God, where it takes a long time and then suddenly, boom, we're planting in a month's time and we get everything ready, you know, and who's coming with? And so this is a suddenly of God. I don't know if you have recently read I'm going to need that today, the Gospel of Mark. But Mark sounds like one adrenaline junkie when he writes it, you know, suddenly Jesus did this and suddenly Jesus did that. This feels like one of those moments, you know, suddenly we're planting in Grootbrak after all these years. And so I was trying to explain to my little one this afternoon, you know, I said to her, we're going to church again tonight. She says, again, because we've been in the morning. And I say to her, in Afrikaans, it's the same thing. It was plant a kerk, you know, and we're doing a church plant. It's just like, how does that work? And because I ended up into gardening lately, okay? So her idea of planting something is in the garden. We're planting something, you know. And so it reminded me, I heard the story recently it's a guy that says, you know, many years when he had zero church background or whatever, he's in the church and they were raising funds for the new church plant. And they needed $1 million for a church plant. And he's like, is everyone okay with this? Who pays $1 million for a church plant? And it's just, and then he found out that plant won't even be in the building. It's going to be in another state, you know? It's like, is everyone all right with this? You guys catching my joke, okay? Sometimes we got church lingo, you know, church plant. And we think everyone knows what it means. And someone expects a little plant, you know, a million rand plant. And but this is worth way more than $1 million, you know, people and taking ground and coming into a city. And so, just tonight, I'm going to jump straight in for us, and we're going to actually read, I don't do this often, but we're going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture together, and through the story, so I'm going to give you a summary. We're at the end of Acts 27, and it's right at the end of Paul's life. He's on his way to, it's after the dream or the vision that someone had. He says, you know, if you get on the ship, you'll be tied up, you know, and he had this belt and this man will be tied up. He says, don't go because you're going to go to Rome and you're going to be prison. And Paul said, no, this is the course that the Lord has for me. So we're right at the end of Acts 27, at the end of Paul's life, and they were boarding the ship, but they got their timing wrong, you know, to transport these prisoners to Rome, and it was winter time. I don't know who if you've been around that part of the world during winter time, but it does cool down quite significantly, and we're picking the story up in Acts 27 from verse 9. And it says here, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was the day after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, and he said, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous." That's always terrible when Paul tells you that, okay? "And it is going to be great loss to the ship and cargo and even to our own lives." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. And you think, you know, is this guy cooked, you know? It's like by now he should have known. We're at the end of Paul's life. He's got a track record of, he kind of knows what's going down, you know. And he says that he'd rather listen to the owner and to the, you know, to the pilot. And then since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. And that's quite a dangerous thing, you know, anytime that we, let's take a vote. What do you guys reckon, you know, what do you think we should do? And we take a little vote and we do that. And we never are people that take a vote. When do we think is the best time? But we're people of the Spirit, you know. We follow the word of the Lord and we follow who God has called to lead us. And in this case, it is a joy that it's undeniable in our hearts that Paul had called Paul and Michelle and John and Kanya and the team with them and the guys that have laid down their lives and says, God has called us. And he's on them. And he says, okay, cool, we're going to follow you. There should have been an amen or two there. Hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. And there was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. And then he says, and when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and they sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. And the ship was caught by the storm and it could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and we were driven along. And as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard and they passed the ropes under the ship to hold it all together. So this is like, you must know now, this isn't the Titanic, you know, this is a couple of years before that. You're in a little fisherman's thing, man. And there's a hurricane force wind here coming up against you and you've given up trying to sail this thing. You are now just getting driven along to wherever it's taking you. And the lifeboat is falling apart and you're tying that together. It is just like they're in serious crisis here. So then they passed the ropes on the ship to hold it together. So they're even putting ropes under the ship to try and just keep the pieces together. Okay. I think for any sailor, that's your worst nightmare by the time you get there. And then because they were afraid that they would run aground on the sandbars of Sartres, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. So now you've got anchor in the water and you're just getting dragged as, you know, as the wind desires. We took such a violent battering from the storm the next day that they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So this is like, man, this was their food supply or the way to get food. You know, this is their fishing gear that they're going, all right. And I love it that I say with their own hands, they're throwing it aboard. It's like, oh my goodness. Okay, now what? Okay, there goes your source of food. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. And after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." How's that? Man, should have listened to me. "Not to sail to Crete, because then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom our servant stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God graciously has given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Conflicting story, this. "And on the 14th night, We were still being driven along across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. So they took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings and again found that it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stem and prayed for daylight. Okay, this is like, man, you're in serious dwang here by this time, okay? And then in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. So now you got these guys like, they in it, we're saving ourselves here. We're getting out of here. And then Paul said to the centurion and the sailors, he says, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. He says, for the last 14 days, he said, you have had been in constant suspense and have gone without food. This is crazy. 14 days that you're so stressed out on the water that you don't eat the thing, even though there is some food available. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after this, he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it. Thanks. Let me just put it there. Thanks. And he lost my place. Then he broke it and they began to eat. And they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. It's a big ship, eh? There's a large thing here. And when they'd eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. So like a okay, last meal, people, here we go. And when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, and where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. And they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. You know, this is like, here we go, sail up, and they send this broken ship straight onto the sand, okay? But the ship struck a sandbar, and it ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. So now you're in the shore break, you've got these waves from the back, you're stuck, you can't get any forward, and now your boat is starting to go, okay? And the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, and he kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get on the planks and on other pieces of the ship. In this, everyone reached land safely. How's that? So now you take a piece of plank, you know, and surfing that thing in as best as you can. And they all made it. And then in chapter 28, it continues. It says, once safely on shore, we found that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. And Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Now, you just survived the storm of the century. And as you're making a little fire, a snake, whoosh, okay, on your hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Now these people are tripping out by now, you know. It's like, who is this guy? And the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to that guy, the chief official on the island. And he welcomed them to his house and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from a fever. And And then Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. How's that for a story? And you think Paul went out on some serious roller coaster ride, you know, it's like he had no boring life. And you know, when I was praying for you, like the Lord reminded me of this portion of scripture. And I said, God, this is not a very encouraging scripture for a church plant, you know. But I actually felt the Lord, there's a couple of things God wants to highlight for us out the text. And there's actually, I think it's a picture for us tonight that God wants to use to remind us of one or two things. And I'm not going to be long. I just want to strengthen us. Are you guys still with me? And, you know, I love, there's a couple of components in the story. And the first thing, you know, I love that Paul says, you know, everyone has to remain with the ship. You cannot abandon the ship and be saved. He says, and there was this call where Paul says to the men, some of you are trying to think, if I get off this thing, maybe I can save myself. But Paul said, you need to remain in the ship to be saved. And, you know, I think there's a call for us, and the ship, I think, going to have many, you know, I'm running ahead of myself here, various components to it. But I'm thinking, you know, we're planting something new tonight here. We're taking ground in a new era. We're starting something fresh. But the method and the heart remains the same as the day when they started there in that house in whatever street they were on, which Andrew often tells us about. Can you chat? What's the street's name where they started, Josh, in? Hey? No, the house where they started. Can you guys remember? What was it called? Can't remember the house. It was a house where Andrew and MC and Melanie and Julie and the dogs started the plant, you know. And the heart that they planted back then is the same heart that we're planting with today. It's come, die, so that you may live. It hasn't changed. We're 26, 27 years later into this thing, but the heart is still the same. It's like if you would come and you would die for him, and you die with him, you too may live with him. And you know, last week I just encouraged the guys who came and they you know, gave up their lives, move here, some relocating, you know, change congregations. I said, guys, I hope that none of us joined here just because now it's closer to home. You don't need to pay a price anymore to drive further. In fact, you're going to pay a greater price. It's we're starting from scratch. We're starting over and it says, God, we're going to come, we're going to die, but so that we may live with you. And the same applies for us today. Amen? And they all thought it was safer off the ship, but Paul warns them to remain. And you know, in church, in some sense, I want to encourage you with this. You will face strong hurricane winds that come up out of nowhere and suddenly bashing against the ship around every corner, you know, and thinking, what is going on with us? It's normal when we take ground. And I was even wondering tonight, you know, like I know in Mossel Bay, when I moved there, the first week I just took time and I said, God, what are some of the stuff that we're going to face in this area? What do I need to be aware of? What's the powers, principalities, the you know, the evil stuff that we're coming up against as we come in with light? What do I need to be aware of? And the Lord showed me a couple of things. Be aware of this. Be aware of this. Look out for this. You're going to face this thing. And I wonder, coming into Grootbrak, you know, what is it that you're going to, as there's darkness that you're coming in and that the light of God may shine, and that what are some of the hurricane winds that suddenly will come up and rise up again and bash against the ship? It's a good prayer to pray, by the way, I think, for the guys. I'm sure you've wrestled with some of these things by now. And I think even tonight, just while I'm talking, I'm going to trust the Lord. God, would you show us that we wouldn't be surprised? And this is not a thing, no, we should never have sailed. This is like, God has called us. Take the gospel to every town, you know, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is us going, you know, I love that it started in Mossel Bay, or Oudtshoorn, actually, you know, with Mike Defay and Mossel Bay, and it's been planted to George, to Hartenbos, to Stol Bay, to Willowmore, you know, wherever we are. And just as we go with the gospel, but we say, God, we're not unaware that there's going to be strong hurricane winds coming at whatever stage, but we want to remain in him. We want to remain in him. And I love John 15, where Jesus said, I didn't give this to you guys at the back, but I think we know it. But John 15, Jesus said this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even bear more fruit. Now, how's that? Like, I was even reading that. It says that every branch that bears fruit, God prunes. And I think sometimes we hope that if you're bearing fruit, leave me alone. You know, I'm doing well now. Don't keep putting me in seasons of pain, you know. And I was just today when I read this, I said, God saying, like, even if you bear fruit, He comes again and He works us. It's never, we're never the complete package before we get to heaven. It's even when you think, now I've done everything that I have to do, I'm bearing so much fruit, God comes again and He prunes us again, says, so that you may bear more fruit, so that you may bear more fruit. And you know, all of you that have joined this plant have been part of something, and you're bearing some form of fruit. There's something in your life, obviously, and God would come again and He would prune again, and so that you may bear more fruit, not to harm you, not to punish you, not to whatever, but it's so that you may bear more fruit. And then I want us to look at this. So it says, again, the word remain, which He speaks about here. Verse 4, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's a powerful promise from the Lord, by the way. Can you imagine that if we can heed the word of God, and we say, God, if we have one aim in life, is that I want to remain in you. I want to remain in the ship. I want to remain with you. I don't ever want to jump off and try and save my life, thinking that it's better out there. I'm going to trust you that you say, it is better for me to remain. That God actually says, ask Him whatever you wish, and He'll do it. And imagine if as a church, we can have a confidence in the Lord that we're remaining in Him, and we can ask Him to do anything in Grootbrak, and God says, I'll hear your prayer. I'll hear your prayer. That no prayer is too big for the Lord, you know, what we can ask Him for. To dream big, man. I think this should be the minimum of people that should be frequently, you know. It's just to ask the Lord, God, we want to ask You for hundreds in this town that came here. What did Paul say last week? That the theme of Grootbrak, or what's the unwritten slogan for Grootbrak? Living slowly by choice. Yeah. If you didn't know that, that's the unwritten theme of Grootbrak. That's why we come here, to live slowly by choice. But that God can again stir us, that if you'll die, you'll live with Him. And we can ask Him, God, for everyone that came here to die slowly, would you kill them quickly? And that they may live with you. Amen? You get my wordplay there. Don't take it literal. Okay? And then I love this. He says, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Showing you to be my disciples. And, you know, I want to encourage you firstly. I'm not praying this for anyone, but it's just church life. There will be storms. There will be storms that at some stage you feel you're tying that boat with some piece of string, you know, just keeping it all together. And we are heading for land, okay? But I want to encourage you, remain in the boat. And I wonder for some, you know, like, There's times in the Bible, there's other stories in Scripture as well, but if the lifeboat sits there as an escape clause, as the back door, as when it gets a little bit much, I've got a way out. If there's a price in your life, the devil will pay it. If there's a price for you when it's too high, he'll match it, or whatever you can find you with. And I love that they went, you know, Paul said, don't any of you get off the ship. If you get off, you'll die. But if you stay, all of you will make it. 276 of you, we're all going to make it. And they went and they cut the ropes to those lifeboats. And in some ways, it's quite a daunting thing, you know. It's like, this is all that I think could have saved me by now. And it says, I will trust the God of Paul, actually. We'll trust what we've seen this man. We are now going to put our hands in the living God. And we're remaining with the ship. Cut the lifeboats. Whatever that is. I think for those of you joining here, I chatted to the guys last week, you know, but all of us, it's quite a unique plant, this, that we planted out of 6 congregations. It's like a hybrid, actually. I don't think we've ever done that. And it's a great model. I love it. Né? But in some ways, all of you have built under a different lead guy, you've got connections elsewhere. And it's not wrong. I still have strong connections back in Cape Town and Melkbos and guys that I walk with. But it has to come to a place where I transport myself and I plant myself where God is planting me. And I move in my heart, my posture, my desire, my everything. It says, God, I will be where you place me. And in some sense, I'm not cutting off friendships, but I'm moving my heart. And it says, I'm going to be where the Lord placed me. I'm going to encourage us again to do that. Let me see. Where can I pick it up? Are you guys still around? I think the throwing off of food and luggage off the ship, it's quite a graphic picture for us what it looks like sometimes to try and stay with Jesus, you know. It's just hanging on for dear life. And eventually sometimes if we pack, you know, we're going away soon and I'm trying to think what can we take with for a month. And there's some stuff, I'll limit some of my other stuff so that I can take some other stuff, you know. It's like, but what if it's warm? What if it's cold? What if it's this? What if it's that? What if we end up going there? What if we go there? And you try and pack for everything. And at some stage, you know, with God, it is like you just have to be where He's got you at the moment. And you throw off whatever else you had planned for afterwards. But it says, God, I'm here now where you need me. And God will lead us, you know, to a place actually where we'll throw off everything else so that we can remain with Him. And this verse in John 12, Jesus says, you know, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And this, if it dies, I remember I shared with some of the guys recently in Mossels. I said when the Lord called me many years ago to follow Him, and I knew that He called me for full time, and it was a constant repetition. And I remember wrestling with the Lord. I wasn't an extrovert, charismatic young man. Really, I wasn't. I was actually quite a shy, insecure individual, okay? And I remember thinking, you know, God, all right, well, if that's what's on offer, like, I'll take it, you know? It's like I felt like I didn't have much of a choice, you know? And the Lord pressed this verse on my heart, and He says, Hannes, if you won't die properly, you remain a single seed. You might do something, but it will really have no value. And I almost felt the Lord say to me, like, it's like He came and sat next to me and says, but if you would die, can you imagine what I can do through you? And I remember there was a day, I'm not going to go into all the details now, but I was walking in Bloemfontein and something had happened, and I offered my life to the Lord, and I died on that road that day. And every time I go visit my family and I drive around that bend, I tell my wife, I died here 15 years ago. I died here. This is where the Lord called me. And I wish I can say it was the only time that I've died. But ever since then, there's been moments where the Lord would come and He says, but if you would die, if you die again, if you'd keep dying, if you just do it again, if you pick up your life, you'll remain a single seed. But if you would die, can you imagine what I can do through you? And I want to call you again to die. It will produce many seeds. And so when I got asked to move to Mossel Bay 2 years ago, 2 and a bit years ago, I was on a plane on the way back from New Zealand. That's how I heard. Nadine called me on a WhatsApp call. I had my AirPods in. I bought Wi-Fi on the plane, you know, and I dialed into this meeting and I couldn't talk back properly. And there was this discussion going on. They needed someone in Mossel Bay, and Andrew was convinced. He said, I believe it's Hannes. I've prayed about it. I believe it's Hannes. I can't even talk back. And you know, I'm on an 18-hour plane trip, and when I landed, the decision was made. I'm moving, you know. And that was how I ended up here. And so I when my wife picked me up at the airport, I said to the guys, please don't talk to Mariska. I haven't seen her for 3 weeks. I just want to talk about something else. When she picked me up, she just asked me, are we moving? And someone spoke to her, you know. I was like, ah. So we just went straight to Andrew's house, and we just said, okay, well, let's talk, you know. And I said to him this. I said, the answer is yes. If you want me to go, we'll do it. But can I get 2 days to just pray about it? Okay. And he says, yes, you can go away. And so we went away for 2 days just to pray about it. And I mean, there was a couple of things the Lord said to me before that already. So I was, and I, we would have gone other way if He needed us. But I said to the Lord, somehow I feel I would love this time if You can speak to me that I can have courage as You call me. And as we drive out of Melkbos, I said, I want to put on some different podcast of some guy not within 412. I don't want to hear anything from within us. Some other, I just want to listen to something else to try and gauge the Lord. And I put up a podcast from a guy that I trust outside of us. And he told a story about when the Lord many years ago relocated him to something. And he said that morning someone came to him with a scripture out of Isaiah 26 verse 8. And Isaiah 26:8 says this. It says, yes, Lord, Because walking in your way, in the way of your laws, we wait for you. For your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. And he said this, you know, there's only one way that scripture can really be written. It's only yes, Lord. He says it can never be no, Lord, or maybe Lord. Because if it's no, Lord, then it's not really Lord. It's only one way that we can say yes, it's when it's really Lord of all. And I remember we were still at the first traffic light on the way out of Melkbos. And I knew. I said, and I just wept. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. And we said yes to the Lord. And we've kept doing it ever since. And we'll do it again at some stage. And I want to encourage you, for those of you who said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we're here. This prayer should be in your heart. It says, God, your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. It's not so that there can be some Blue Josh Jen banner out there or whatever at some stage. It's so that the name of Jesus can be made great in this town and that the fame of Jesus can spread. Like we read, I love that when you read scripture, you know, the Gospels, where it says that the fame of Jesus spread throughout the whole town. That's what we want. We want the renown of Jesus and what he's doing. That he's still alive. He's still moving in power. He's still healing the sick. I love Paul. After all that he's went through, gets off. And he says, okay, well, let me pray for the sick guy. Boom, gets healed. And from that whole town, nobody knew about Malta before that or whatever. They bring people and they all get cured. He never pitted himself after that storm. He says, you know, I survived 2 weeks on a ship that I told them they shouldn't do. And I make a fire for them. I get charred by a snake. And I'm over this. I'm done. I'm tapping out. I ran my race. First person he sees, he says, God wants to heal you. I've got good news for you. Have you heard about Jesus? He brings the gospel. The whole town gets impacted. It's a different mindset. Paul, by this time, was proper dead to his own ambitions, to his own purpose, to his own desire. He lived. And there was many seeds that followed him. And I'm praying, each of you, this is not for Paul and Michelle and the elders here or the leadership team. This is for us. And I want to say, even for us from outside, even though I'm staying in Mosabay, I'm invested here. And we're praying. We say, God, we pray that even when eventually you go through some storms, hopefully not now, but that you can remain with the ship. That no one will say, okay, cool, I'm taking the lifeboat. I'm out of here. But remain with him and remain in him and die to self that you may live with him. And that there'll be many, many, many that will hear about the fame and the renown of Jesus in Grootbrak. That's my prayer for us. That's what I want to encourage you with. Is that good? Yes. All right. So I want to pray for us. You know, land that in some record time. It's a miracle after all that. But I want to pray for us. And Lord, I thank you tonight that we can be part of the suddenly of God being here together. That somehow you put the dream in someone else's heart over the years. And actually tonight, this isn't the dream of Mona or Paul and Michelle or whoever, but this is your dream for this area, that you want the good news about Jesus to ring out to the ends of the earth. And God, we get to play a small part here to tell people about the wonder of a Jesus that came and died for them to save them from their sin. And Lord, we know that as we come with the gospel, we see this everywhere where the apostles went or the disciples went before. There's been an attack, there's been opposition, there's been questions, there's been challenges. But I pray that no one will get frightened by the hurricane winds, Lord, but we can stand, remain with the boat. And I just want to bring it to us tonight. Like, I don't know who's here tonight and that need to hear that. Maybe you've been around, maybe it's your first time in church, maybe you've been a couple of times. But I want to tell you that the reason we would send 70 people from other congregations, that we would pay all this amount to rent this venue, that we'd buy the sound, that we would spread our resources, it's for one purpose, to tell you about the good news of Jesus. And we're not doing this just to get our name out there at all. In fact, this is to work. We're spreading ourselves thin. But Jesus wants people to know that he came to seek and to save the lost. And when I was 15 years old, there were other guys that drove 1,200 kilometers from Cape Town to come and tell us about the goodness of Jesus. And he came and he sought me out and he found me and he called me, even though I've heard the gospel many times before that. And I want to ask you, maybe you've been around, but if you know that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you kind of like the churching and you've come along with it, you might even know some scripture, but you've never said, God, I realize I need saving. I need to be rescued. I am not okay on my own. I need to remain with the ship. I need to join the ship. I want to remain. I want to become part of the vine. I want to give you opportunity today to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life. I realize that I'm a sinner. I need saving. And Jesus actually means this. It means that God saves. In his very name, he says, I've come to save you. And I want to give you opportunity, if you'd be so bold, to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want Jesus to save me tonight. And I don't even exactly know what that means, but I want to walk with him. I want to know him. If that is you, don't you just want to raise your hand quickly? I would love to pray with you. If there's anyone like that who says, I want to get saved, I want to thank you. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else who want to say, I want to get saved? I want Jesus to save me. I need rescuing. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Oh, bless you. Bless you so much. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just get some of the ladies around and just to lay hands on it. This is why we're here, by the way. We would do this again just for you. Jesus would do this just for you. Lord, we want to thank you for her. And I thank you that you came to seek her and save her. And I pray, even as she's the first of many, I pray that there'll be many, many, many in Grootbrak. Lord, we want to ask you for many seeds to be found here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. There's another one here. Lord, we pray that we thank you for these first two, that you came and you found them tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it says that you remove their sin as far as the east is from the west. You wash them. And you make them whiter as snow. And I pray that tonight will be a radical life change for both of them. I pray that this 8th of March, they can say 2026, my life has changed forever when Jesus found me and I surrendered to him. And Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that they may, the Bible actually says this, that you were once dead, but he made you alive. He's not making you better. He's actually taking you from death to life. And I pray for both of them that they will feel today that they've been made alive as if they surrendered to Jesus. And Lord, we do ask you that they would break open the door tonight for many to come behind them. And that there will be many in Grootbrak who will surrender to the gospel of Jesus. We bless them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then for the rest, Lord, I just want to pray that God, I love how Paul, even when it says that the angel came and he strengthened him and he encouraged him. And he says, eat some food and be encouraged, strengthen yourself. I pray that everyone here will not just try and float along with the ship, but you called everyone here for a purpose. And you called everyone to have much courage. And I pray tonight that you would come and blow courage into everyone here, Lord, that has said yes to the call of the Lord. And that you give them food to eat, Lord, that they may be strengthened. And I want to say to you guys, take courage in God and don't cut the life rafts, cut the lifeboats. And say, God, we're closing the back door. We're planting ourselves where you called us. We'll die with you, Lord, so that we may live with you. And Lord, that everyone would again choose to come, die, live. And we pray for much life, Lord, as they remain with you in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that word, Lord. Thank you that we can be strengthened, Lord, by your word. And thank you for salvations, Jesus. On our first day, Lord, may it continue as we go from this day, Lord, every Sunday, every week, Lord, may we touch those in our neighborhoods and in our streets, Lord. May they see Jesus in us, Lord. I wonder if we can just finish off by getting all the guys that are part of the plant to stand. And then for those to gather around them and just pray for them, that they will, and it's actually for all of us, but that we will choose daily to surrender to the Lord. Choose daily to give up our self-centeredness And those things that we hold dear and choose to die every day, every single day. So can we do that as we end off with the great prayer? Guys, just stand first and then, yeah, let's get the others to pray. Just gather around them and pray. Then we're going to enjoy some coffee afterwards. All right, so just spend a few minutes praying together.